Hey, I'm Jim Richardson. I want to welcome you to not only this week's broadcast, but to an incredible new series called Experiencing the Voice of God. And we're going to be talking to you about how to successfully navigate life, because I got news for you. You can't successfully navigate life if you can't hear God's voice. You can kind of have a hit and a miss. You can kind of, get it right sometimes, but I'm going to tell you something. You want to hear, know, but you also want to experience God's voice. And in this series, one of the things that you're going to discover is that the way you've been trying to hear God is probably one of the main reasons you haven't been able to hear God. You've had a bunch of religious, mystical people that trying to tell you how this is supposed to be. But I'm going to tell you something. God's Word tells us that we not only hear His voice, we experience His voice. This means that we can walk through any situation, not only with the knowledge of where to go, but with the sense and the feeling and the strength of what needs to happen. You know, this may be one of the most important messages that you've heard in a long time. I don't know when we've ever been in a situation that was more crucial for us to develop the ability to hear God's voice. You know, everybody wants to hear God's voice, or they say they do. As we go through this series, you may find out that really there's some aspect of hearing God that maybe you really don't want to hear. And that's all right, as long as you can own it, because if you can own it, I'm telling you, you can get through it. But you know, we live in a time when more than any other time in history, maybe other than just right after the resurrection, we're living at a time when it's really, really essential that people be able to hear God's voice and trust God and move with God. You know, back several years ago, the Lord showed me these changes that were going to take place in our economy. And as a result, we moved off of 60,000 square feet or more of building space that we had. We moved into a smaller building. We changed how we did everything. We sold some of that property. We made all of our adjustments. And then 2008, whenever the collapse came, we were in a position that really didn't hurt us financially. And all of that happened because I was able to hear God's voice in advance about what I needed to do for the ministry. Now, this is why I wrote the book Wired for Success, Programmed for Failure, because I knew we were moving into a time that people would need to hear God's voice and do specifically what they need to do with their lives if they were going to succeed, if they were going to prosper through some of these difficult times. And I'm telling you something, for the days that are ahead of us, of all the things you want to develop in your life, you want to develop a hearing ear. You know, Jesus was the one that coined that phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You see, we have all the promises of God. Everything that God has, He's given us in the Lord Jesus. But He is trying to lead us into the fulfillment of that in our daily lives. You know, if God has a great job for you, He can't get you to that job if you don't follow Him. If God has a connection that He wants you to make with somebody in a relationship, He can't get you to that relationship or to meet that person if you don't follow Him. And all that depends on our ability and our willingness to hear God. And it all starts with having an ear to hear. Now, when we talk about hearing God or hearing God's voice or being led by the Holy Spirit, man, I'm telling you what, we go to some crazy places and we usually want to jump straight up to the super spiritual and leave all the practical aspects out. But the truth is, that's why most people are so flaky and inconsistent in their ability to actually hear God's voice in a way that makes sense in real life. You know, I'm telling you, I hear people all the time, "God told me this, God told me that, God told me this." And you talk to them later, and it didn't go the way they said it was going to go. And then they come up with some squirrely reason, something that doesn't even make sense about why God changed His mind or why God was doing something different now. And honestly, it makes God look like a fool, but it makes the believer look like a fool. We should be people that hear and know and move with God in a way that calls people to say, how is it that you have peace in these situations? How is it that you make these good decisions? How is it that your life always comes out well? You know, the Apostle Peter said, when people ask for the hope that's in you, be ready to give them the answer. Well, hope is a confident expectation of good things. Man, if we're hearing God's voice, we should always expect better than is going on anywhere around us. So We're wanting not, you know, and it gets beyond hearing. You know, when you talk about hearing, you're talking about hearing with the heart. When Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's talking about a person who has hearing ears in their heart, because all of the five senses, you know, sight, taste, touch, smell, hearing, all of these things are mirrored in the heart and in our ability to sense and recognize God in our heart. And so I want you to realize, when we talk about hearing God, we're, in a certain sense, we're even talking about knowing and experiencing God, because hearing the voice of God is something that you experience as much as you hear. Because the truth is, and as we go through this series, you're going to realize this, the truth is, it's more about experiencing God's voice than it is hearing God's voice per se. And you're going to recognize that, because so much of how God leads you is more about what you're experiencing. It's more intuitive than it is through just verbal communication. But now I want you to be sure of this. God wants to personally communicate with you. I mean to tell you, He craves to communicate with you. It is His desire. As a matter of fact, part of the new covenant is really hinged on God creating personal, intimate communication with you and leading you personally, so you don't ever really have to go to any other source to hear the voice of God. Now, let me just mention a couple of problems, and I don't want to labor these too long, but at least two major problems I think that we have in hearing the voice of God. And first of all, we're listening for the wrong thing. You know, we want thunder and light. And you all know the story about the prophet Elijah, you know, when he went out and God called him out to the mountain, and there was an earthquake, and God's voice wasn't in the earthquake. There was a fire. God's voice wasn't in the fire. There was a great wind. God's voice was in the great wind. And then God called him out, and there was a still, small voice. See, we have a lesson that we need to learn there. We're always looking for God to speak to us through the phenomenal. And, you know, we're usually looking for God to speak to us through something on the outside, usually through some sign or some, you know, something out here, some circumstance. But the real truth is, we should be looking for the still, small voice, and we shouldn't be looking for it out there anywhere. We should be looking for the still, small voice in our heart. Now, I want to tell you something. If God speaks in a still, small voice, one of the things you can be sure of, you can't live in chaos, your mind can't be full of clutter and noise, and you recognize the still, small voice of God. I'm going to try to touch on some of that as much as I can in these programs, but I'll tell you, in the series that we have, you will get all of this in incredible detail. So the second thing, though, about that's, I think, where we struggle in hearing God's voice, is that not only are we looking for the wrong thing, we're looking for something big, something phenomenal, but also there is this tendency for us to want other people to bring the voice of God to us, or to be responsible to hear God. You know, in the old covenant, the children of Israel, they told Moses, they said, you go up on the mountain and you hear God, and you come back and tell us, we don't want to go, we don't want to talk to Him, we're afraid to talk to Him. It's kind of a paradox. You know, everybody wants to do their own thing. Everybody wants to make their own decisions. But it's interesting how people want others to hear from God for them or in their behalf. And I think all of that's got to do with really misunderstanding the new covenant, not knowing who we really are in Jesus, and really not even understanding how to hear God. Now, see, this message is called Developing the Hearing Ear, because this is something that is absolutely developed. It's not a gift. It's not something that just happens to you. You develop your hearing ear. Let me tell you this. One of the things you're going to have to do, like I say, you got to listen for the still, small voice that's going to come to you inside your heart. Secondly, you've got to give up the idea that anybody else can hear from God for you. I'm not saying that never happens, but I am telling you, when you want other people to hear from God for you, you'll always be confused. Your life will always be a mess. See, one of our problems is we tend to keep, even though this is a new covenant, we tend to keep relating to God as if it's the old covenant. And so we're attempting to apply old covenant concepts to hearing God. Now, see, under the old covenant, only the prophets, the priests, and the kings heard the voice of God, and then they would bring them to the people, and then the people would have to take them and decide, do I believe it's God or not? And they didn't have the Holy Spirit as a witness on the inside of them. Man, I just cannot imagine them. So, you know, and we tend to do that. Man, we want other people to bring us prophecies. We want other people to bring us words of knowledge. We want other people to bring us, you know, this supernatural voice of God. Let me tell you something. That is foreign to the new covenant. And then all of the other external things, you know, people want to put out fleeces. Oh, here's a big one. People want confirmations. Man alive, you know, most of the time when we're wanting, you know, when somebody says, yeah, God confirmed this to me, what that really means is that through some circumstance that could have been totally coincidence, that has nothing to do with what the Word of God says, you're looking to that instead of listening to God in your heart. Let me tell you something. God's not going to lead you through fleeces. He's not going to lead you through confirmations. He's not going to lead you through words of knowledge. He's not even going to lead you through prophecies. In the new covenant, prophecies are for edification, exhortation, or comfort. In the new covenant, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. In the new covenant, God speaks in our voice, in our heart, and honestly, nobody can bring it to us. Nobody can hear it for us. You know, in hearing God's voice and in developing God's voice, there are just a few really simple things that we want to look at if we're going to develop a hearing ear, if we're going to go to this place that Jesus said that we could go to. And that's where I want to kind of help you get to. And we're just going to touch on some of these today. I don't have enough time to go into all of this. I don't have enough time to go into every single detail. But I want to tell you some things that are going to be really important to your life if, in fact, you are going to hear the voice of God. First of all, I want you to practice sanctification. Now, boy, when you start talking about sanctification, people just flip out because they get this Old Testament concept of sanctification or this legalistic concept of sanctification. But the word sanctify means to set apart. Now, in the Old Testament, when the prophets got visions and when they got these prophecies, it usually came after what is called a time of sanctification. Well, sanctification, the word sanctify means to set apart, and there's two concepts to sanctification. Number one, there's to set yourself apart physically. In other words, spend time alone with God. And sometimes they would do it for days and weeks and sometimes even months. They would get alone with God, seek God, listen to His voice. But also, sanctification is really a meditative process because sanctification talks about setting your thoughts apart, setting your emotions apart, setting your attention apart, and focusing all of your attention, you know, on God. And so they would get alone, they'd focus their attention on God, and in quietness and stillness, they would hear the voice of God. Now, remember, God is trying to speak to you. And the reason sanctification is so important, the reason getting alone with God, having a prayer time, having a worship time, having that time is so important, is because you've got to start out just connecting with this still small voice of God on the inside of you and being able to recognize it. And I'm telling you, if there's too much going on around you, if there's too much emotional clutter in your mind, you will never recognize what God is trying to do inwardly, because you will be so outwardly focused on what's happening in the world around you. So, unless you're willing to spend time alone with God, the real truth is you will probably never, ever, ever get to the place to where you hear God's voice on a regular basis or recognize God's voice on a regular basis. Now, I just want to kind of walk through what I feel like are some ways that God leads us under the new covenant, and then talk about some practical steps that we can take. You know, remember, the new covenant is all internal. So everything that God's going to do in our lives, speaking with us, communicating with us, empowering us, leading us, everything is internal. Now, the first thing that God did when you got born again was He wrote all of His laws on your heart. And in the original language, this indicates that He not only wrote all of that truth on your heart, but He wrote everything He ever said, all the logic and wisdom that's connected to that truth, and it's in our heart by His Spirit. This means that unless we're learning to recognize the voice of our heart, the voice of God in our heart, this means that we're probably never, ever, ever going to hear God. So in the new covenant, the law is written on our hearts, which means inwardly God's always going to be speaking to us, really from His Word. See, anything God's got to say to us is always going to be based on His Word. Secondly, because the Spirit of righteousness is in us, there's always going to be this intuitive knowledge of righteousness, of how it should be, how we should be. And how we should be is based on the finished work of Jesus. We should be whole, we should be well, we should be strong, we should be witnesses, we should be positive, we should be encouraging. You know, there's all of these ways that we should be if we're going to be godlike. And that's, you know, in righteousness, we're always going to have this compelling to be as God really is. Same character, same nature. And so this is just one of the many ways that God leads us. Now, I want you to realize God always supports His Word. He never, ever, ever departs from His Word, and He certainly never says anything to you that contradicts the Word. Now, this is probably fundamental to a lot of you, but I got to tell you something. I get around these people that are all spooky and, you know, prophecies and personal words and all this kind of stuff, and it's amazing how many times people will tell me that God is leading them to do something that violates His Word. You know, if you think God is leading you to violate His Word, you have some really, really serious issues in your relationship with God. You have some really, really serious issues in your determination to have your way and to live life the way you want to live it, instead of living life the way that God, you know, is trying to lead you to live it. So God's never, ever, ever, ever going to violate His Word. God also, I want you to know that God always supports the finished work of Jesus. You know, Jesus died on the cross for a reason. He was raised from the dead for a reason, and it was to give us this quality of life, to deliver us from the curse of the law, to raise us up in newness of life, to give us victory over the devil, to give us this inheritance. And so God's never going to come to you and say something to you that contradicts what Jesus accomplished at the cross. You know, I hear people all the time, like, God spoke to me and said he's going to judge this person. Well, no, He's not. God poured out all of our judgment on Jesus, all of the punishment, all the curse of the law that we deserve. So in order for God to punish anybody, He would have to deny the finished work of Jesus, and He's not going to deny the finished work of Jesus. Now understand, there's going to be a day of reckoning. I recognize that. There's going to be a day when everyone who hasn't accepted the righteousness of God as a free gift is going to stand before God and be judged by their works. That's their choice. I understand that. I'm not saying there's no accountability, but I am saying that God is not going to violate the cross of Christ. See, you've got to get stable in this stuff. You've got to get stable in the gospel of peace. If you've never read my book, The Gospel of Peace, I'm just going to tell you, you will find yourself constantly violating the covenant because you won't understand the terms and the agreements that God made with us through the Lord Jesus. So he's never going to contradict the cross. God's always going to lead us in paths of righteousness. He's always going to lead us in life as it should be based on the finished work of Jesus. That means He's always trying to bring us into health. He's always trying to bring us into happiness. He's always trying to bring us into success. He's always trying to bring us into peace. He's always trying to bring us into good relationships. And I tell you, God's always going to lead us in the light, in every aspect of the light. He's never going to lead us to be backstabbing, to be manipulative, to have secret agendas, to manipulate and to use other people. And I'll tell you this, God is always, always, always going to lead us from our own heart. He's never going to lead us through other people. Now, I believe in getting counsel. I believe in talking to other people. I believe in getting advice. But, you know, all of that is more about how to apply the truth. I'm not going to other people saying, what's the truth? I got to know the truth for myself from the Bible and from what God's speaking in my heart. But I'm going to go to other people and get input about how to apply that truth and get counsel about that. So, but God's going to speak to your own heart. Now, I know this is fundamental, but you have to start with the basics. If you ever want to get to the place where you're hearing God in a way that saves your life, your kid's life, your friend's life, that works miracles, you've got to get these basics down. So real quick, like, let's just kind of run through the starting place for knowing God's voice. Number one, know the Word of God. People who are ignorant of the Word of God are just shooting in the dark because they have nothing to base what they're hearing on. See, this is why God tells us to renew our mind so that we have the Word of God in our mind just like we have the Word of God in our heart. And that way, the intuitive knowledge of God can align with what we know informationally or intellectually. So know the Word of God. Secondly, know God intimately for yourself. Don't take anybody else's experiences. Don't try to live through anybody else's experiences or anybody else's spirituality. You take time to get alone with God. And you know, nobody can tell you how much time that should be. You've got to decide for yourself. And you got to figure out what will work into your real life and what you'll really, really do. But spend time alone with God, listening to His voice. Let everything you do, whether it's prayer, whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's praise and worship, let it be done in a meditative, reflective way that is directed to God personally and intimately so that you are engaging in a conversation with God. And when you feel like you've heard God's voice, test it. You know, the Bible says test all things and prove all things and hold to that which is good. You know, in the early days of walking with God, if I felt like God told me to do something, and I went and applied it, and it didn't come out right, then I had to ask myself, did I really hear God, or was that just me? And then secondly, if I did hear God, where did I get off course? And I would spend time meditating and reflecting and identifying. And so many times I'd realize it was just my selfish ambition that was driving me. You know, fourth, be fully committed to righteousness. And fifth, be fully committed to love. And sixth, be fully committed to the Lord Jesus. There is no substitute. And I'm telling you, these are the basics. This is where you start out. You get alone with God. You spend time in His presence. You spend time in worship and praise. You know, this is no different than spending time with your spouse. The word know that talks about knowing God is the same word for knowing your spouse. It's having an intimacy with Him that's beyond anything that you have with anybody else. Listen, if you learn to hear the voice of God when it's quiet and when it's still, and if you grow in that and you develop that and you become sure and immovable about that, when you get out and face life, I'm telling you, no matter what's going on out here, you will have learned how to focus your attention inwardly into your heart. And these distractions out here, or let me put it this way, this clutter out here won't be a distraction. You'll be able to hear and know the voice of God in your heart with pinpoint accuracy. And I'll tell you what, you'll make decisions that'll work. You'll succeed or survive when other people can't survive and succeed. You'll know how to protect yourself. You'll know how to protect people around you because God will give you wisdom through the practical application of His Word. Listen, be sure and get the series. It's going to go into all kinds of detail. Come back in just a few minutes for my mentoring moment, and we'll take the next step. You know, in this mentoring moment, I want to give you a little practical tip about what you can do to begin to move yourself toward actually wanting to spend time alone with God. You know, most people's complaint is, I'm just too busy, I just can't work it in. But that's really not true, and you know it's not true. Or maybe you don't know that. But you can always find time to do the things that are important to you. The main reason people don't find time to get alone with God is they don't believe it's productive. They don't believe anything's going to happen. They don't believe they're going to hear God's voice. So for the next 30 days, I want you to do a simple little exercise. About 15 minutes before you go to sleep, I want you to have a notebook beside of your bed, and I want you to do this in longhand. Be sure and do it in longhand. Don't print. About 15 minutes before you go to bed, every night when you're starting, before you go to sleep, when you're starting to get sleepy, you realize I'm going to be going to sleep in a few minutes. In longhand, I want you just to write down in your notebook that a little sentence that says, I love spending time with God every day, and I hear His voice. and just write that down about three times, three or four or five times even. Close the notebook, go to sleep. And what you'll probably notice is you'll probably notice that your dream patterns will change. You might wake up some in the middle of the night for a while. But because you're doing this right before you go to sleep, it's a meditative process that's actually going to influence you while you sleep. And you will find yourself over a period of time just starting to desire to spend more time with God. I know it's a simple little exercise. Now, you can begin scheduling a time if you're ready to do that along with this exercise, but this exercise is really going to help. And you just pick a time that you're going to do this, plan it ahead, tell your wife, your kids, everybody, this is what I'm going to do this. Block it out on your calendar so that people don't call you, and get along with God and decide what you're going to do. Decide how you're going to do it. Maybe you're going to just read a chapter of Proverbs every day, or maybe you're going to read a chapter of the book of John every day. But the main thing, you're going to get alone, you're going to spend time with God, and if you read, you're just going to say, God, help me, speak to me about my life, and you're going to spend some time just listening and waiting on God. These two things, planning a time and doing this every night, you'll be amazed where you'll be a month from now.